Hello, fellow foodies. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to the Foodie Pharmacology Podcast. I'm recording this episode remotely from the heart of the Balkans in the Shari Mountains, located in western Kosovo. This area is inhabited today by people of many different cultures, languages, and religions. While there is so much that differentiates one ethnic group from another, there is one thing that unites them all, the shared love for mountain tea. The secret ingredient in this tea may surprise you, as it's one you've likely encountered as a seasoning for one of my favorite foods, pizza. In our 16th episode on the show, we're going to explore the use of a common culinary herb as a healthy tea ingredient. Chai male, or chai for tea, male refers to the mountain, or mountain tea, is made from different subspecies of a plant known as Origanum vulgare. You may know it as wild oregano. Bundles of dried oregano with their deep purple flowers are a common sight at local open-air markets in Kosovo and Albania. As a member of the Laniaceae or mint family, these bundles of flowers and leaves are packed with essential oils that have interesting medicinal and health-boosting properties, ranging from antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and even antimicrobial properties. Origanum vulgare is native to temperate Eurasia and the Mediterranean region. It is a perennial aromatic herb with purple flowers. There are many varieties of oregano cultivars that are bred for their distinctive flavors based on differences in their chemical makeup and mainly by the composition and concentration of specific essential oils. In the Balkans, though, oregano is commonly harvested by local people from wild populations in the mountains. Handfuls of the herb are gathered, fresh, tied together, and then dried in the sun to form compact herb bundles. These are then stored in a dry place for household use throughout the year, or are also sold to herb traders or brought directly to local markets for sale. When brewed into a tea, the resulting beverage is pale yellow in color, with a fragrant but not overpowering herbal flavor. Locals use chai male as an enjoyable and health-boosting hot beverage, or it can also be used as a mild sedative and calming tea. It is also used medicinally to treat sore throat, cough, cold, and flu symptoms. Some use it to dip their bread into and consume that bread as an oregano-dipped health food. And this was a much more common practice in the past. I'm so excited to bring this special episode to you direct from the Shari mountain range in the Balkans, which extends from Kosovo in the northwest of northern Macedonia to northeastern Albania. I'm here with Professor Avni Haidari, a longtime research collaborator of mine. We're here on an expedition to document and collect specimens of wild plants used by locals for food and medicine. These specimens will ultimately be deposited at the University of Pristina Herbarium and also examined in laboratory analyses for their chemical composition and utility in treating diseases ranging from infection to cancer. Professor Haidari is the chair of the Department of Biology at the University of Pristina, Faculty of Mathematics and Natural Sciences. He is an expert in the chemical analysis of plant essential oils and has research interests in the chemical makeup and utility of aromatic plants. Avni, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Professor Cave, and welcome to the Shari Mountain.
Thank you. So we've really had such an amazing time exploring the mountains here. And one of our first days in Prizren, which is a town located really in the heart of the Shari Mountains, we saw a number of vendors selling chai male. So can you tell us a bit more about this practice of selling chai male and where they're getting these tea ingredients from?
To talk about chai male, I would say some word about the traditional uses of the plant species. People which are living in Shari Mountain are well known for using of natural resources, especially different wild plants, for different purposes. Also for tea. During the past research, we recorded using of more than 20 plant species used as tea. Some of them are not used anymore. Some of them are rarely used. But one of the species which still is widely used from the local population is chai male or oregano vulgare. Also, you can find this type of tea in the local markets, and also it is served in the restaurants as a beverage tea. So, also, you can order in the local restaurants.
In Kosovo and in northern Albania, the term chai mali, which is an Albanian term, refers to Oregano vulgare. But what about in southern Albania? Is there another plant that's called this by the same common name?
Yeah, in North Albania and in Kosovo, chai mali is the term used for Oregano vulgare, subspecies vulgare. While in the south of Albania, chai mali is used as a term for Sideritis species. So it's another species which is used to prepare tea. Maybe this is because of the distribution of the plant species. In the north part of Albania and Kosovo, more abundant it's or more present is species Oregano vulgare, subspecies vulgare. While in the southern part of Albania, this subspecies is not widely used. It's widely distributed. It's distributed another species, Oregano vulgare, subspecies hirtum, which is used for pizza, not for
Not for
tea.
tea.
Yeah. So
Okay.
instead of Oregano vulgare, subspecies vulgare, which is used as tea, in southern Albania they are using Sideritis species to prepare tea, which is chai mali also.
Yeah, and so and Sideritis is a species also found in the Lamiaceae
Yeah,
family, so another
exactly.
kind of mint.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting. You mentioned that there's certain subspecies used as tea and other subspecies used as kind of for seasoning for savory foods like pizza. Is that because the flavor of these subspecies is different? And how does that happen?
Yeah, it was our interest also to see if it's any differences in chemical composition of those species. So we made some chemical screening of essential oil of those species, and we found really big differences in chemical composition, but also in the content of the essential oil. For example, to Oregano vulgare, subspecies vulgare, the content of oil was very low, 0.1, maximum 0.5% per dry mass. While to Oregano vulgaris subspecies hirtum, the content was up to 70%. Very huge difference.
So there's a lot more oil that
Yeah,
comes from
yeah.
the pizza variety, I
Yeah,
guess, versus the one used in the mountain tea.
exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
And then we used chromatographic analysis to make screening of chemical profiles of the essential oil, and we found really big differences in the chemical composition. To Oregano vulgare subspecies hirtum, which is used for pizza, the main component was carvacrol, which is going up to 80%,
Wow.
very huge amount of carvacrol. Sometimes it's going mixed with thymol, but mainly is dominated by carvacrol.
Is that what gives that kind of seasoning ingredient such a powerful oregano-like flavor than the carvacol?
Yeah.
Okay.
While to Oregano vulgare, subspecies vulgare, this compound is nearly less than 1%, very low. And it's to this species are dominating two others chemical components, which are known as germacrene D, which is going up to 35%, and E. caryophyllene, which is up to 25%. And they are now more responsibility to produce the flavor of chai mali.
Okay, so the chemical composition then, even though these are both Oregano vulgare, because they're from different subspecies, they have a different chemical composition. And that affects the flavor, the sensations you have when you smell this plant, but also some of the pharmacological properties as well, of these species. Now, maybe we can back up for a minute and talk a bit more about how do you even pull out an essential oil from a plant? What is the process of extracting an essential oil from a medicinal plant like oregano?
Yeah, there are different techniques used to extract the essential oil from the plants. But one which is widely used is distillation. steam distillation or hydro distillation, which are techniques which are using heat to separate the volatile compounds from the plants. So we have to boil the plants and passing the steams through the plant materials together with the steam of water are evaporated, also the essential oil, and collected in a special bottle of the Clevenger apparatus, which is a special apparatus to which is used for extraction of essential oil. And this is possible thanks to different polarity of the compounds, because essential oil are not mixed with water because they have different polarities. So after the distillation, we can easily separate two of oil with from the water.
So in other words, you can either put the plant material into a container with boiling water, and the resulting steam kind of goes up through a tube with cold coils, and you have the oil and steam drip down.
Yeah, exactly.
But because the oil and water won't mix, you're able to easily separate the essential oils from the water.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. And then you mentioned chromatography, and I see here in your work that you're able to identify exact percentages of different essential oil components, so different compounds found in that essential oil blend, because it's not just one compound in the oil, there are many compounds. And tell me a little bit more about, this is called gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. How does a tool like that work?
Yeah, after extraction of the essential oil, we are injecting a very small amount to the gas chromatograph, which is an apparatus used for separation of the chemical of the essential oil. Because the oil, as you said before, are not just a pure compound, but are composed by many, many, sometimes more than 100 compounds all together. So we are separating the compounds with the gas chromatography, and then this apparatus had a special detector known as a mass spectrometer, and we are using that for identification of the chemical composition or of the essential oil.
That's great. So another question I commonly get, even from students, is does the chemistry of a plant vary depending on where it's grown? And have you noticed that? Do local people say, well, chai mali from this mountain is better than from another mountain? And how does that translate, or perhaps for other herbs, how does that translate when you actually do the chemical analysis? Can you have different chemical makeups or percentages of chemistry that vary between populations?
Yeah, this is true, that the chemical composition of the plants, it's variable. It's differed from one population to another one. And you can see this even if you are preparing tea from chai mali collected from different places. Some have a more strong flavor and some other have a less flavors. And this is a result of the chemical composition. So we had done some research in the to measure the natural variability of the chemical composition between different population, and we noticed that it's sometimes quite huge differences in chemical composition.
Yeah, so even though you can have the same species, I guess environmental factors like how much sun, the soil.
Exactly, the soil, the altitude, the sun, other climatic condition are contributing to this create a special variety of the
oils. And also for defense, the plants make these compounds to defend themselves from insects. So if they're under heavy insect pressure in one area, they may produce more of certain compounds as well.
Yeah, exactly. And to some other species, not to oregano, we notify that even humans are creating a lot of pressure by pollution, and the plants are creating more or different chemicals in higher percentage to protect themselves from the protection.
As defense compounds. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Well, I have to tell you, the first time that I ever saw oregano as a tea. It was very novel to me because I've never thought of it in that way as a tea beverage. But herbal teas in this region are incredibly important for supporting kind of regular health initiatives. And what can you tell us about some of the other herb gathering practices in the region?
Okay. We have some companies which are buying plant materials from the local peoples, and they are the local peoples from this trade are providing some incomes. In this aspect, we have two type of plant collectors. The first group belongs to the people which traditionally collected the plants, and this is
for their own household consumption, yeah, use as medicine through the year.
Exactly, and mm-hmm. they are quite well trained, to say, and they are collecting plant as much as they need. But also, if they are selling, they are collecting in a sustainable way. They are not destroying the plant population because of the long tradition of the collection. They have a sense of sustainability of the plant population, but. Recently, we have another group, the second group of the plant collectors, which are new in this business, and they are collecting everything, nearly. All of the individuals which are in the population, they are collecting because they are looking to the plant individuals as a money. So they are collecting everything and destroying the plant population.
And they're also coming from different regions. Maybe it's not really even their village terrain. They're coming from different areas and then over collecting because there's not really keeping in mind the need for the next harvest.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And
I know from our interviews we've asked a lot of people about this herb collecting tradition, and what I've noted is that in many cases a lot of these herbs that the people that are coming in to collect these wild plants are only making, you know, 1 or 2 euros on kilos of material, and the value change in that material as it goes towards other markets in Germany or in Turkey or other places in Europe can be tremendous. From the plant collectors earning 1 or 2 euros, and then the middlemen earning more, and then when it finally gets to the European market, these can go for 20 euros a kilo, or in cases like cowslip or primulavirus, even up to 50 euros. So there's definitely a disconnect, I think, between the people that are collecting locally and the economic impact it has on them versus what the final market value is. And this is one thing I know that you're also interested in improving these circumstances for local collectors.
Yeah, it's exactly as you said. And I think the production chain is quite long in this aspect. And the local people are earning only few money from this from the collection of the plants. Most of the money, as you said, are going to the main companies, usually in Western Europe. And this long trade chain, it's because many companies are, especially in Kosovo, are involved in the buying of the plant materials. For example, for a small company, regional company, are buying plant materials from the local collectors with a very cheap price, and this small company is selling to another big one, and this bigger one is selling to another bigger one in Pristina or somewhere else, and then this bigger one selling to the Germany. So it's quite a long chain, and in this long chain, the local people are winning the less.
Well, and this certainly has implications for future sustainable initiatives around collection of many different species of wild herbs. I'm wondering what has been your experience with chai mali? When was the first time that you had it? I know for me, like I said, I was really happily surprised by the flavor, and I'd never imagined having an oregano tea. It's really the flowers and some of the leaves that are used. When we think of oregano in the West, it's usually the leaves that are used as seasoning. When was your first experience with this tea?
It's interesting because I do not have an experience like you to use for the first time. I was born near the in a village near the Shari Mountain, so I was growing up with that. And really, I do not remember my first experience because I was using since I was a child. But simply, I like it.
Yeah, it's part of the normal rhythm of life here. To wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to add about chai mali or other herbs in the region?
The herbs in the region are collected and in some cases over-collecting, and the plant population in the wild are becoming endangered because their population is decreasing. And those would be interesting to see the possibility for the cultivation, not only for the oregano, but also for the other species. So easily we can get the seeds from the nature, from the wild population, by selecting the best quality of the plants and then cultivating in the field. When we are going to cultivate, we have to take care also for the place, because if we are selecting the best quality of the plants and sending in the low land to cultivate, maybe we should have a low quality because of the
Different climate. Yeah. So really, we need to, if we're going to think about longer term upscale production, we need to look for ways to grow it.
Yeah.
At the elevations where we have, you know, these mountainous areas, but also that could provide an additional value chain for local people.
For the local people. Yeah. And this is this is something that we have to do not only for the plant species, but also for the local communities, because they have to win from the knowledge that they are sharing with us in ethnobotany research.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Avni, for taking the time to speak with me about the lovely chai mali.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to talk with you about the chai mali.
Okay, thank you. Since trying chai mali for the first time, I've become a huge fan of this lovely brew. Importantly, in addition to the leaves, the inclusion of flowers in the tea makes for a delightful color and flavor. Interestingly, as Professor Haidari noted, the major essential oil compounds found in the subspecies Origanum vulgare subspecies vulgare are germicrine D and caryophyllene. Both of these are sesquiterpene compounds. What is really interesting to me is the connection between beta caryophyllene and local people's reports of using this tea as an anti-inflammatory health beverage and also as a sedative and relaxant. Beta-caryophyllene is also found in some other plants you may know, including cannabis, cloves, black pepper, rosemary, and hops. From a pharmacological perspective, this compound binds directly to endocannabinoid receptors and specifically binds to the CB2 receptor or cannabinoid 2 receptor. For this reason, it is classified as an atypical endocannabinoid. As a refresher from our previous episode on cannabis, while the CB1 receptor is associated with sensations of euphoria or getting high, the CB2 receptor, especially in peripheral zones of the body, is known to be a therapeutic target for the treatment of inflammation, pain, atherosclerosis, and osteoporosis. Beta-caryophyllene has now been shown to be directly beneficial for the treatment of anxiety, depression, colitis, liver fibrosis, osteoarthritis, diabetes, cerebral ischemia, anxiety, depression, and Alzheimer-type diseases. If you'd like to try making chai mali at home, I recommend growing the whole herb, harvesting it when it is in fresh flower, tying up the stems into bundles such that the flowers stick out as a bouquet, and then drying them by hanging them upside down in a dry room or laying them in the sun for faster drying. Remember, you need to get the specific subspecies of vulgare, not the other subspecies that's used more commonly as a food seasoning. Once the bundles are dried, you can simply store them in a cool, dark place for the remainder of the year to use whenever you'd like it as an herbal tea. Next time on Foodie Pharmacology, we'll investigate one of my favorite summer crops that comes from the deadly nightshade or Solanaceae family. When vine ripened, the deep red fruit is an amazing addition to just about any salad or can be transformed into some amazing sauces. Although it is a fruit under botanical terms, we commonly think of it as a vegetable due to its use in savory dishes. When combined with olive oil, the health-benefiting properties of a natural product found in the fruit, known as lycopene, is enhanced. So join me next time as we explore the incredible edible tomato. I'm Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the podcast for the food curious, recorded in the Shari Mountain region of Kosovo. Get updates on our latest episodes by following or liking the Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes. Spread the word and tell your friends. If you've got a great idea for a future show, be sure to reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Quave Ethnobot, spelled Quaveethnobot. I'll see you next time.